is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. That's right, Chris Plunkett, Disaster Recovery Hour. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at The Voice, AM 1160 WVNJ. It's not a bad-looking Tuesday out there. It is National Flag Day. I don't know if anybody knows about that. So if you see a couple extra flags in a neighborhood, there's a whole protocol. I don't know if everybody... I kind of like the flag. When I was in the Boy Scouts, I liked doing the protocols of bringing it down, bringing it up, and folding and stuff. It's a good American thing to do. So you should go to, just a quick little Americana right there. You should check out the... I think there's 16 steps on how to address the flag when you're setting up the flagpole and so on and so forth. So you should check that out. And also, that's a tied right to our American soldiers, the men and women that's serving overseas, protecting us at home. I did notice last week on June 6th, not a whole bunch was said about D-Day. I know it's 60 some odd years, but I still think they should get the ink they deserve. And shake a vet's hand, especially we have a lot of guys and girls coming back home, doing their tours, numerous tours, that is. So if you have an opportunity to thank one, you should go ahead and do one and shake their hand. Say thanks to Steve Cremendo from last week. Steve is the director of Extreme Behavioral Risk Management. We talked about in disaster zones and things that happen to people's and their psyche. It's really psychological first aid he was focusing on. How people react in different situations. Like, for example, we talked a lot about downtown and what was the, besides the first responders, what was the citizens and how do they respond and getting back to normalcy is a key part for Steve and his colleagues to assist people in the disaster zone, and how it differed from Katrina. What was the priorities down there, and how was the mindset down there? So it was an interesting show, and it's definitely an 800-pound gorilla in the room, because people want to put things back together, but the most important thing is life and the safety of life, and that includes mental health. So the world that I live in, it's the disasters and the floods and the fires and such like that. A lot of people they forget about themselves, about taking care of themselves, the first responders, the volunteers, and which kind of springboards me. I'll still talk a little bit about it, but talks about contingencies and the mental health of including business. And one of my guests today, he's standing by, is Andy Weitzberg. Andy from ACP of Long Island, Association of Contingency Planners. Andy, thanks for coming in again.
Thank you, Chris.
Andy's going to stand by for a little while. We got one of our guests and coming up on the phone is an update from Brian Loberg. Brian's from Wanda. Brian was on, I think it was 3 weeks ago when we were talking. He was in Japan, about 150 miles from their ground zero, if you will, trying to get supplies up north. And so we've been trying to get a hold of him, but he's been getting his affairs in order, coming back to North America. In regards to the contingencies that we've been talking about last week, the week before, a lot of it has been business driven, but take it from me, you can really break it down to the smaller pieces, because it the things that we talk on keeping business up and running or how to respond to a disaster for a business, it's the same format for personal lines. That's what we call it in the insurance world. The Harry homeowner or Mary homeowner, whoever owns a home, having those plans in place prior to something happening creates less anxiety. Being displaced from your home after a fire or flood, it's brutal. And even even the most prepared people are going to have some form of issue that you didn't think of, And he's going to talk about a story later on. He was talking about some of the association of, I think it was pharmacies or whatever, they were talking about contingency planning for that with people with getting medication. So there's it touches so many parts. Nowadays with electronics, I was just uploading some stuff for my BlackBerry this morning. So, you know what? What if a cell tower goes down? You know, how am I going to call somebody? You know, do I have a SIM card backup? And everything comes into play now. You know, like I keep on saying, the world is flat. Japan is way on the other side of the world, but you know what? They have some form of direct contact with our economics over here. You know, there are parts that we need for our machines, whether it's automobiles, whether it's mass production. So them being knocked out of the game, per se, it's like think about it as a baseball team or a football team. You know, a key player goes down, or even a guy who's not a key player, I like offensive linemen. So let's just use an offensive lineman, for example. I'm going to break it down real small, right? He's knocked out of the game, put in a rookie, or you don't have you up against, some all-pro guy. It's not going to happen. You know, there's going to be a breakdown right there of a cohesiveness of with the team. So, you read about it in the papers, and it also, when I was talking with Jerry Giesinger, my guru down there at the academy that I went to for disaster restoration not too long ago, Jerry was talking about the impact of, forget about the 400 businesses that were lost off the Mississippi River and the lower part of Memphis. He was talking about the barge disruption of bringing down all those supplies. That affects the entire country. I mean, it is a main artery that cuts the country in half almost, and the goods that come up and down that river are the lifeblood of, you know, the automotive business up there in Chicago, and it shoots over to the Michigan, up into Detroit, even though Detroit's got its issues as it is. But, you know, getting the goods up there and down the Mississippi is has been a challenge at best. Now you have the Missouri has issues, like Jerry was telling us about the massive snow falls that happened in the Midwest, and then now you're having the runoff from that. So now you have the Missouri's having its issues. It touches all our lives, and it affects even, you know, the mom and pop stores. The big box stores, they get affected. So planning, contingency planning, and that's why, you know, I was extremely excited about meeting Andy and Harry Baton a couple of months ago and getting myself affiliated, now becoming a member of the ACP. You know, ACP is they're out there. They're almost like the Red Cross for business, and they're there to help business stay in business. And for me, I do, split, let's go with, like, say, 30% commercial, and the rest, 70%, is personal lines. And personal lines meaning Harry homeowner in the business, obviously being business, you know, fires and floods. What can I do to keep these people in business or up and running, and how can I keep these people in their home while the mitigation work by the emergency service cleaning is going on? And if not, can I get them a place to stay? You know, so there's a lot of coordination along those. I think I do a pretty good job of it. Just so you know, I'll plug myself. It's CPP, Emergency Services and Restoration. I'm also a franchisee of Service Master Clean. They're out of Memphis, Tennessee, and that's where the headquarters is. But I take each loss personally. I like to get entrenched help my fellow citizens out, if you will. And that's, again, you know, so it was a seamless relationship transition when I got involved with the ACP. They have, like I said, 43 chapters throughout the country. And Andy, chime in a second or two before we get our we'll talk to Brian. We were just talking about the large pharmacies, and it was an amazing story that Andy was telling me. Andy, bring that to light.
Well, I'm in a conversation with one of the local health departments, and we're talking about them putting together a program so that in case of a disaster in Long Island, especially because of hurricanes, a major hurricane hitting, that there would be places for people to go get the drugs that they need if they're not able to get back into their homes, if they can't get the drugs that they left with, or they run out of the drugs that they need. And we were talking about them putting together a special program. And we talked about the local pharmacy, and I pointed out that the local pharmacy is probably going to be closed, that we're going to have to go to the larger stores that have the ability to have generator and have refrigeration and have lights and use those. And they're very interested. So we're helping as the ACP to put together a program with the public and the private sector to make this happen so that the public will have places, and the health department will do the training, and they'll make sure that there are pharmacists available.
You know, yeah, you know, we talk about the business. You know, the business is the driving force to keep our firemen and our policemen, our municipal workers. You know, that's a tax base for generating dollars to keep things in the move. I mean, it's part of the same pizza pie. So let's use, you know, any old flood like we had the last 2 years at both in April. You know, towns were shut down. And a lot of the contingency plans that they thought they had were in a book up on a shelf and wasn't real life. It was just something like, yeah, okay, we have one. It's, you know, the insurance company might ask me for one. I gave them this pamphlet that we have things in order. But, you know, you talk about medication. People are living longer. That's a proven fact. I'm not being Dr. Oz here. But, you know, meds are, you know, everyday life. And I know I'm on some special medication, which, not to say that I'm you know, not mental medication. They'll be laughing at me like that. So, but it's true. Does a CVS, for example, do they have a backup plan? Are they part of a strip mall that gets shut down from a fire? Then you have to have, you know, elderly people driving. I mean, this whole thing is anywhere you throw a stick, it's going to hit something that better have a backup plan in our country. And I'm not talking about pointing fingers, because I can't stand that. You know, it's lessons learned. Okay, you know, we're gonna, you know, the litigious society that we live in with pointing fingers and suing. Well, you know, sometimes things just happen. But you know what? Let's move forward. Let's have problem solve and have a plan in place, whether it's for the home or it's for the business. by the way, my brother Phil said I said so too many times. So let's gonna go to a commercial and get Brian on the horn, and let's get an update what happened with Japan and the supplies that he was shooting up north.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
The money is all dried up, and the work is all gone. Don't want to go to the mailbox, don't want to answer the phone. Did I mention my baby left me? Therefore, I need some defending.
Attorney Michael Guidro is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Michael Guidro is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues.
Welcome back. You listen to Disaster Recovery Hour, AM 1160 WVNJ, The Voice, and I am your host, Chris Plunkett. If you want to do a comment, you can go drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net. Go to the comments page. You can ask me something. You can ask Andy something. You can ask something from last week or the week before, or insurance-related, or property management, or whatever. But get on there, throw us out something. I have many tools, and many people with lots of knowledge to answer these questions. Because you know what, you don't want to ask the question after the incident's already happened, and that these incidents happen in they come in different forms. So again, it's drhradio.net, and also the 1-800-962-1160. That's the phone number. It seems to be antiquated now, huh? No, it doesn't. Use the phone. I use it every day. I do have on the phone from Wanda is Brian Loberg. He's glad to jump on board again with me. Give me an update. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Chris?
I'm pretty good. How you feeling from your trip?
Still a little wonky, but I'm okay. Yeah.
Brian is Brian's a field director for WANDA. WANDA is the World Association of Natural Disaster Awareness and Assistance. It's a nonprofit. Jim Arnett is a top dog down there along with Steve Neary, right? There's Steve, and then there's Brian, and then some other volunteers. And Brian was over in Japan on the outskirts of the hot zone, if you will, right, Bri? And the last time we spoke, you had goods on the ground. And you wanted, and you were looking to get up north, and that was a task, needless to say. Why don't you let's pick it up from there and roll.
Well, yeah, I guess that was a couple Tuesdays ago, and I ended up getting it finally at the 11th hour Thursday night through customs. Found a truck with some drivers from Second Harvest Japan, and we ended up leaving. Finally got the stuff shipped from the airport to their location, and we left at midnight Friday night and drove up to Minamisoma, and which is just south of Sendai. It's actually about 20 kilometers from the nuclear plant, a town of about 70,000 that got pretty much destroyed, and handed out our stuff there. That was the first day.
That was I'm in the studio today, Bri. I also have Andy Weitzberg. Andy is the director of the president, I should say, of ACP of Long Island. That's Association of Contingency Planners. Andy's a large proponent of keeping businesses up and running during a disaster and how we can bring them up and running after a disaster. So I thought Andy would probably have a good couple of questions for you. But, you know, when we talked last time, I brought in the similarities between Haiti and Japan. You had a third world country, and you have a super successful economic power in Japan, but you guys experienced the same supply chain issues. And I find I found that very, very kind of ironic, really.
Well, I think we were new, you know, going over there sort of without knowing exactly what was up, so it's not entirely their fault that way. We were, like I say, learning ourselves, but it was really the customs of getting things through to the country. Like, you'd think, hey, break it down, look at it, it's staring right at you, it's clear wrap around it, there's, you know, diapers, cloths, whatever, it's all pretty straightforward stuff, just look at it and get it through so we can get it up to the people. And that was kind of odd, and I guess it could have taken longer, but I spent about 3 hours on the phone for 3 days, or each day, and finally got it through. But still, I found it was a bit weird that it was so hard to get it through, you know.
Now, was it a safety issue to get into the zone?
I don't know. I think they're so proud. You know what I got to tell you? After 2 weeks of spending time with the Japanese, I love them to death, but I think I can't figure them out, really. And I think one of the things is they're so proud of themselves as what they are, and maybe, you know, accepting help sometimes is a bit unnatural for them. I don't know. Even in something, you know, so awful as this, I really don't know the answer, but that's about the best thing I can think of.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got a question.
Brian, did you find that the officials had a hard time with being overwhelmed with what went on, and this caused them not to be able to change their game plan?
I think so. I think they're so used to regiment and detail, and you know, everything's the same all the time, and nothing really changes as far as getting things done. And you know, they're so efficient, I guess, in a way that this sort of really threw them for a loop.
Now, the loss of life. Now, the whole country is affected.
It's horrifically affected. It's amazing. I'm like, again, just because I was there, I'd seen it, and it's hard to realize on TV or whatever, and what you see. It's really, I think it's the worst thing that's ever happened in this century. I mean, I don't know what could be worse, really, as far as overall disaster. You know, people, sure, but economics and just the destroying of a country, in a way.
Yeah. So when it comes to loss of life, the effectiveness down where is everyday life happening? Was there power issues down south by you?
No, the only thing that's there is power a bit, and it's strewn. So, you know, you got to kind of watch it. And there's what it is you've got towns like that one, or Ishinomaki is another town I went to, which is further north of Sendai. So that's another 170,000. Sendai, where you see all the famous videos of the boats going into the bridges and homes and stuff. That's over 1 million people. And they're destroyed, like, sort of about, you know, depending on what city or town, you know, halfway up their city or a quarter of the way or a third of the way up their city is completely destroyed. So they have nothing. They don't live there. They don't work there. Nothing happens there. The only thing you'll see every once in a while is, like, a 7-Eleven truck that acts as a 7-Eleven, you know, just a few maybe workers or army guys.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. Or people are just driving through.
Now, the Red Cross is over there. Does Japan have its own contingency of, like, Red Cross people or... Was it really?
They use the army, pretty much.
Oh, okay. So there.
Yeah, that's what I saw everywhere. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anybody. You know, I was only there up there for 2.5 days, and you know, driving around a lot. Didn't see anybody except army. So I didn't see any other volunteers or helpers. But I could have, you know, they could have been elsewhere because it's 500 kilometers long. So it's a pretty big area.
Brian, is that because of the? The radioactive fallout that most of the agencies do not want to come into the area?
That's another one, too. That's, I think, a bit of a rumor, too, and a bit of a, you know, people like to take, like, recessions when, you know, when countries go into recession. It's a lot of rumor that continues it, and people just won't spend because they're told not to. But same with the nuclear stuff up there. It's not as bad as people think, but it's still the sound of the word nuclear, you know, radioactivity, blah, blah, blah. Scares a lot of people, and so I know that for a fact that people aren't buying rice from up there, even in places that weren't affected directly, you know, meat, even with the cows grazing on the radioactive grass, they think, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's a bit more, or it's a bit worse, or it's not as bad as people think as far as radioactivity goes.
Yeah. Now, Brian, you run up there. Why don't you give me the day blow to blow? You get the vehicle, shooting up there.
We went up midnight, and as mentioned, we ended up in I can never get this name right, Minamisoma, and we gave out all our Wanda stuff there. So what I did was I had two trucks go up, two big sort of 18-wheeler types, and we went up there and we dropped them off about 9 in the morning. I went for a walk, actually, about a 4-kilometer walk, 3 miles or so out of the town into a valley that had been completely destroyed. Actually, on our website on wanda.org, you can see some of the quick videos I just put up with my iPhone. We're actually working on a documentary right now. Even PBS has got a hold of us, and we're just starting the process now of putting a beautiful videos and documentary together. So anyways, there's little snippets up there on Wanda, and I walked down to the beach basically, and I could see the nuclear plant. I could see it, you know, in the horizon, what I thought it was. I mean, I knew I was 20 kilometers from it, and so I did that for about 3 hours, just shot footage down there of complete destruction in 360 degrees as far as I could see. It was just unbelievable. One little old lady with a wheelbarrow still pulling stuff out of one house that was still okay because it was really thick concrete, and it was actually on a bit of a rise of about 15-20 feet, so that's about the only reason she survived. Came back, and we delivered our stuff from noon till 5 to little mini trucks that came through, and along with the Wanda stuff, we had fruits and vegetables and you know, juice and water and things like that, and that was, you know, up till 5 o'clock that day, and that was the first day. And then shot up, drove straight through the night up to Ishinomaki, which was complete destruction. In a city now, now we're in downtown, so to speak. And again, there's a little brief videos on Wanda.org there that show me walking around and just being in shock and awe of the fact that it's just like, I mean, you know, again, when video shows it, and me telling it's probably, you know, you can't really get the gist, but it's unbelievable. So.
If you just joined us, a Disaster Recovery Hour, I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, AM 1160 WVNJ. On the phone, I have Brian Loberg. Brian's from Wanda. If you've had podcasts, you can download the podcast, drhradio.net, and hit the podcast and sign up for that. You can hear the last interview I had with Brian. And Brian's given us an update because he went up north with the supplies in Japan. Bri, before we go to a break, what about curfews? Is there there issues
nobody there?
Nobody there.
So there's no curfews.
Oh,
there's nothing. Like where we go is to people that can get into that area, and then when they go home, they go to shelters pretty much. So there's nothing. It's like again, the whole place is destroyed. I mean, what can I say? Like you know, that's the only answer I got. Unbelievable.
Because we're not, you know, we have Joplin happening right now, and it's even getting scaled back. I actually just found out this past weekend my cousin's out there doing work. He owns a labor force company, and trying to get him on the horn. Bri, what page is the videos on? I got a question from one of the web people.
I'm sorry?
Where can we find those videos again?
Oh, on our Wanda site, wanda.org. So wandaa.org.
Okay, I'll also put
there's
that.
A few pictures. It's like I say, it's just a brief little. I had to get something up because I had to show some, you know, people. They were interested in seeing the trip. So, again, we're in the midst of putting a massive sort of documentary together, you know, super HD, you know, full on thing. So those are just iPhone videos, but there's certainly an indication of, you know, little snippets of what's going on.
Now, Jim's been in the loop as you've been doing your trek up there.
Yeah, oh yeah, we were back and forth the whole time getting this stuff through. That was especially what was the trouble, was getting this stuff over and then up. But once we got it up, we drove, like I said, we were up for 40 hours straight, the whole crew. This is how amazing these people are. From that midnight, like I got up at 9 in the morning that day, that Friday, and went to bed 2 in the morning on Saturday, so what is that, you know? And these guys are amazing and, you know, selfless and all this, and it's just amazing to see these people come out of. You don't think there's anybody around, and all of a sudden 500 people show up, you know, and you know, where'd you come from, you know? And they live, some of these places that only had 4 foot, 5 foot waves just flooded them. So they didn't ruin the house, like rip it down. So now they're living in flooded, ruined bunkers, you know, and they've got nothing. They can't, there's nothing. So they rely on people to come up and feed them twice a week, and we give them literally 5 potatoes, 3 onions, a bag of rice, some milk and juice for 4 people for 2 weeks, like.
Wow, it's 2011. That's pretty amazing.
It is amazing, actually.
And now, are there other NGOs over there, non-government organizations that you teamed up with at all?
Like I said, I didn't see any.
Yeah,
and I'm. I don't know. All I saw was stuff that was, you know, debris, garbage. Did I tell you that stat that they figured out? It's 35,000 years of garbage in one day. Did I give you that one last time?
Wow, no, you didn't.
That's the stat. That's what everybody's figured it out. So if you went out to your driveway and put a couple of bags down and maybe, you know, something from the backyard or an empty pail or something, times that for 35 years in one day. So it's just spread. It's pushed aside, basically. Nothing's really been cleaned up. Nothing's even been separated. So it's just enough to get people's roads cleared to get through and hang some wires for power, which still doesn't go everywhere. But so that's the scene. Like, nothing's, you know, fixed or cleaned.
This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I've been talking with Brian Loberg from Wanda. Just got back from Japan. Delivering supplies to up north into the hot zone, their version of Ground Zero. Let's go, Bri, stay with me. We'll go to a commercial break, and I know Andy's got a couple of questions and a couple of web questions. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, their seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, they've got answers. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated. A full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour. Chris Plunkett, I am the host. On the phone today with me is Brian Loberg. Brian's from WANDA. That is the World Association of National Disaster Awareness and Assistance. It's an NGO, or what we call a non-government organization. And in the studio, I have Andy Weitzberg, and he's from ACP. A lot of initials going on out there. ACP stands for Association of Contingency Planners. Brian, just real quick, I do have a question for Andy on the web question. Michelle's suggestion is that businesses should keep a small safe for stored documents. Before we got you on the phone, Bri, we were talking about contingencies for businesses when they're in disasters. And she also mentions if there's a pharmacies that give out free drugs. I don't know about that, Andy. Maybe that's part of your...
The safe is certainly a good idea. Nothing wrong with that, though. You should have copies off-site.
Right,
as always. But as far as the drugs go, that program is not in place yet. I do not have any numbers on it. It's just at the talking stages at this point, so it's too early to give you any real information.
Now, Bri, back to you, Bri. Andy, one of your questions, and we do have a web question from Scott, was could you tell if the major corporations, which probably had plans in place, were recovering at a faster rate? Do you see anything up in that zone that is coming back to normalcy?
Oh, no.
No.
No, I'm not laughing because it's so far. Like, we drove for, I'll give you this one. Okay, I'll try to sort of be realistic here. Maybe, honestly, about a four-hour stretch at one point where I had my hand or my arm up against the window with a camera and filmed for 4 hours straight of every business, every factory, every refinery, pulp mill destroyed. So even if you had one going, what would you do with it when there's nothing else around you? I don't know how and where they're going to start fixing this.
Right. Do you see...
4 hours.
What, Andy? Driving. Andy's got something.
Well, yeah, that's always a problem. Do you see any of the factories outside of the immediate affected area? Are they getting back to normalcy? Are they getting the power that they need in order to produce the goods? Many of them are exported.
Maybe, you know, if they're private and they're, you know, they've got their own, you know, funds and they're doing stuff. But I just honestly didn't see any of it. I just saw a destruction. Even though we'd go inland, you know, because the tsunami can only go so far inland and then eventually things aren't destroyed, it's still, you know, cities are functioning back there, but, you know, in the pockets that are completely destroyed, I guess, you know, I just don't know. All I saw was just disaster, so right. I don't know.
So the crew, who'd you have inside your, who's part of your team?
Oh, I had three awesome guys, Japanese guys that, from Second Harvest Japan, that didn't speak a word of English, and I didn't speak any Japan, and we spent 2.5 days together, and it was awesome. They treated me like gold, and I treated them like gold, and we just really bonded and had a really interesting experience of how two sort of nations can get together and go up and help complete strangers. It was really, really a unique and interesting feeling, I'll tell you.
That's a great point. It's nice to see, not, you know, like with our country, when we do have our natural disasters, that people, you know, neighbors and strangers become one. It's nice to see that an international side, you know, you have, you know, two big economic superpowers. And, you know, listen, you're a representative of this country. Or I'm sorry, of North America, right? Because you're a Canadian.
Right. But I'm in the States a lot, too, but so you're, I love you, you guys. Know, like the whole country, I consider us all one as far as North America goes when it comes to this kind of thing, that's for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. A couple of my fast friends I made down at the academy, guys from up north, and... What a good attitude! I'm talking about three guys with the most positive attitudes. It was very refreshing. I tell you, they didn't really hone on. Sometimes I think we get a little bogged down with the negative stuff, and it's easy to beat a dead horse.
I'll tell you, something like this sure did that for me. I mean, everybody's always can always use a kick in the pants, you know, as far as taking life for granted or things like that. And this was extreme. I know, an extreme version of that, but. You know, I've sure got a different look on life. You know, I didn't have a bad look before, but I'm just saying it's a lot of things I won't sweat anymore. Put it that way.
Yeah.
Man.
So well, when you got back and you're basically detoxing, I'm assuming. On the Wanda.org page, where is it? The videos are in the events part of it?
Jim did this, so I haven't looked at it lately. There's a tab up top of the page, a couple in maybe, that says events, or sort of a more of a recent tab, I guess you know what those are, up there. And if you go along the top, you'll find it in one of those, and it'll show the Wanda blog, I guess, as best we could with the lack of communication over there. It was pretty hard to send stuff back, I'll tell you, being up in those areas, so I did sort of my best as far as keeping people updated.
Sure.
But now we've got all the stuff here, so we're got a bunch of editors, friends of mine that are volunteering their time, and even Jim down there with the PBS guys, and saying that, you know, we're, like I say, putting more formal footage together.
Yeah, you know, from your experience now, best laid plans probably couldn't do anything here.
No.
No, I mean, it's just...
We're going back, actually. I'm going back in probably 2 months after the summer. This summer, I just... If I can avoid it, I will, and I have the chance to, so I will. It's going to be ridiculous there. As I mentioned last time, the electricity issues in Tokyo and Japan itself are crazy with the, you know, the air conditioning, no air conditioning, and those summers there are super hot, humid, you know, escalators, elevators, all this stuff is just half, working at half power, the lights at night aren't on, you know, it's just, so I'm going to go back anytime after August, probably September, give another 65 or 75 days, I guess, and do another 3 months later update and show exactly, I bet you I go back and it looks exactly the same, I got a feeling.
Brian, this is Andy, are they still working at recovering bodies and...
I think it's, now it's just, you know, find one. It's a bit rare. Like I was walking around in some pretty weird, and I was getting a bit freaked out about seeing something I didn't want to see. People had warned me that there still are there, but I was saying before. I'm not sure if I said actually before about the safes and stuff. Like all these folks were older folks. A lot of people up north are older, so they had stored their money in safes and under their mattresses. So I think that the number I'd heard was 24,000 safes had been returned. Like, that's how loyal and how honest these people are returning safes, you know, that had been washed back up on shore after the tsunami had received.
Well, Brian,
there's not too many bodies, and I didn't see any, like I said, and I could smell awful smells I've never smelled before, I'll tell you that, but I don't know what.
Well, you know, we'll try to focus on that, on the supplies. I appreciate you calling and giving us an update because, I know you were sleeping the last time. You got up at 2:30 in the morning their time for the first interview, so I appreciate it. Keep me abreast of whether we go through emails or a quick, intel with a couple minutes on the show in the future. But before you depart out to your second tour of duty over there, give me your objectives and your goals, and I'll reach out to you pretty soon. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
Well, again, you know, I just want to say that we want it. Just, you know, it's three of us basically, and so the red tape is little, you know, our overhead minimal. So we take the goods and we bring them right to the source, and that's what we like to advertise, and that's how we'd like to gain some strength and be able to help people in the future. So, especially Japan, it's not over by any means. And of course, there's going to be other disasters and things that come up along the way that we'll help with too. But our main goal right now still is on Japan. So we'd appreciate everybody still helping out and try to get us back there. And like I say, we're the little guy that can bring it right to the source. So
yeah,
that's our goal.
That's Wanda.org, and they have a link off of our site, drhradio.net. You can go there and click onto their stuff. Thanks a lot, Brian. I appreciate it. And
okay.
I'll reach out for Jim pretty soon. Take care.
Hey, nice talking to you guys.
All right. Thank you. Take care. You know, so, Andy, what, you know, that's an insane large task ahead of them. But, you know, we got to, you know, looking at our country and keeping our house up and running, I can only imagine our government is looking at intel and looking at our geography and saying to themselves, okay, what's going to happen if, you know, we have to take this for a lesson. Don't you agree?
We do, but unfortunately, we've seen it in New Orleans. We saw it in Galveston, up all the way up to Houston. With the hurricanes, and I saw some pictures of Galveston Island after the hurricane that hit there. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it, and it was pretty desolate. It had been pretty well wiped, pretty well clean. I think I saw one house in one picture. That was the only one still standing. So you can prepare. It's very important to prepare and evacuate and have your offsite backup, but you can't protect your property against everything. Mother Nature is just kind of tough to fight.
Let's go to a break. Andy and I want to talk about some of the things that are similar with the homeowning and disasters with homeowners and business. I'll be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated. a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopened. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have five.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch. Truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47. Heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable. But when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. This is, the fourth quarter of the game. Coming winding down in the studio today is Andy Weitzberg. Andy is the president of the ACP, Association of Contingency Planners of Long Island. And there's 43 branches throughout the country. And Andy has become a good friend and has opened some doors and eyes for me along the lines of assisting my future customers. Unfortunately, I'm going to have future customers because disasters happen all the time. Andy, you know, the thing about the show is that it was always talked about, the homeowner and how do they prepare for a disaster, and if a disaster happens, it also happens for, you know, most of the small businesses, or most of businesses in this country are small business. What is it, 10 to 100 employees or something like that? Agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. I know in Long Island, there's somewhere between 80 and 100,000 small businesses of under 10 employees. And that's your pizza shop. That's your Chinese restaurant. That's your local clothing store. That's your card store. And all these, you know, these are your neighbors. These are the places that you come and they take care of you.
Even your coffee, your bagel, your slice of pizza.
Absolutely. You know, the important things of life.
I wasn't too long ago when my town was shut down pretty good, and we had to go 3 or 4 towns just to get coffee and bagel. So, you know, not to say that, you know, all businesses can afford a backup plan. But you know, if you can't afford the generator, if you're part of a strip mall, I don't want to go with cost, but, what,
Chris, you know what, when people say you can't afford a backup plan, there's some simple solutions that you can take into consideration,
right?
Ready.gov, which advertises is FEMA, puts out a simple outline for a plan. The business owner knows more about his business than anybody else.
Mm.
And this gives you an outline. This tells you what to be looking at, what to be looking for. And it's all about planning. It doesn't have to cost a tremendous amount of money. Yes, an outside professional will cost you a good amount of money. But an outside professional will come in, an ACP member will work out something with you to look over your plan if you've done it, to make sure that you've hit all the important points.
Mm.
But you can do it yourself. Nobody's telling you you have to go out and buy something. There's also inexpensive software. If you're confused, there are books in the library that you can use. But you have to invest the time. You have to talk to your insurance broker. Make sure that he's on board. He or she is on board and is giving you some right advice.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the people that when I do see them, And I said affordability, because everybody, you know, it's like, okay, what is somebody trying to sell me? I got to buy something. But you're right. The ready.gov is out there. Heck, it's a click right off of our website at drhradio.net. A quick question was for me, does Brian and Wanda, that's the, obviously, the Brian's the... the guest I had on before, do they work in Haiti? They're actually stretched thin. Before they did Japan, they were working with the flooding and some of the tornadoes in Tennessee before that. So they do have aspirations to get larger. They don't want to get too big to where there's a lot of red tape. I don't know who gave me the question, but I know that their objectives are to get bigger but still manageable, so they don't have to go through the red tape. Just wanted to drop back to the computer. But you know, when it comes to the dollars and being prepared, it's very simple. Even at a homeowner, listen, you have your regular job, you have the kids, you have family, you're doing this, you're running all over the place, and it's funny. And I was subject to failure on this until I started really paying attention to what I do for a living. Sounds like I'm knocking myself, but I'm not. I'm talking about the personal side of it. Like, you know, I would go home and like, you know what, I don't have any extra flashlights. You know, so over the last 15 years, I've been doing this between running labor crews and emergency services for over 20 years. I started, it's the old, the shoemaker with the kids don't have any shoes. And I think generally the a business owner, your pizzeria owner, your deli guy, you know what, he needs to see cash inside his cash register to know they had a good day. You know, so after being a business owner, you're usually in for 14 hours a day. The contingency planning is like, it's on the back burner. I'll get to it next week when I have a little time to do. But it's got to be really in the face, because they're important to any municipality.
Chris, you're absolutely correct. But here's a statistic for the small businesses especially. 40% of the small businesses that have a major disaster never reopen your door. 40%. That comes from the Department of Labor. All right? Now, are you lucky enough to be part of the 60%, or are you going to be part of the 40%?
Mm.
That's a pretty big statistic to be confronted with. So it's worth doing the planning so you can be part of the 60% and survive and have a business to come back to.
You know, our country, I was reading an article, our country obviously is a service-driven country, and I'm not going to get political because I don't have that kind of information in my head. But, so the mom-and-pop stores are more important than ever, because we're not a big manufacturing giant anymore. Everything is overseas, and, you know, again, that's for politicians to deal with, whether I agree with it or not. It doesn't have anything to do with me, per se, but... keeping the local guy in business, and even an electrical power comes, 20 employees, that's 20 households. Okay, so and that right there rolls on down to going to get food or giving the extra $50 for a coach to do some private lessons, all that stuff. You know, the world is flat. I say it all the time, and that's why Japan is part of the. I brought Japan into the show, and also with the Haiti, because they're really, it's so small now. Everybody's our neighbor. Everybody contributes to the pizza pie and making this pizza pie. You know, so. You have to have some form of plan to keep that pizza edible.
Chris, another point in the small business side, There has been some questions or some potential legislations about talking about gas stations having backup generators. Why? No power, no gas. No power, no gas. Think back to the stories of what happened in Houston when the hurricane started to hit back a few years ago, and all those people started running out of gas, and the gas stations just didn't have generators, and they couldn't pump the gas.
I got another web question. It always tongue ties from Frank, and his question is, how, Andy, this is definitely for you. You're an island guy. How much of a storm would it take to put Long Island underwater? That's a scary thought.
A Class 3 hurricane will probably cause water damage for everything south of Sunrise Highway in Nassau and Suffolk County. I put the whole island underwater because parts of it are pretty high. But on the south shore, south of Sunrise Highway, would be affected by a Class 3 hurricane. And by the way, so would downtown Manhattan.
Right, right.
So just think about that. A Class 3 hurricane with the storm surge and all the water would actually, in Manhattan, would take up probably almost to 14th Street. So
yeah, there's no PATH train there.
And no communications, by the way.
Andy, what's on the topic of the hot topic of the association? So
we actually are going to take our break for the summer, though we're going to probably have a social during the summer for our members, and then we're going to get back to our educational formats for starting in September. Some of the chapters take off just August, some in July. On Thursday, I'm going to the New York City chapter. And that should be exciting. But anybody who's interested, acp-international.org is the national website. Find the local chapter. Find out about what the local chapter can do for you.
Well, good. I appreciate you coming in today, Andy. I will be speaking with you soon, as I always do.
Pleasure.
And enjoy the ride back to the island. Couple couple of minutes to go in the show. You know, I have a meeting with a very large company in another couple of weeks talking about contingency planning. You would figure with somebody with 5,000 employees nationwide, they are behind the eight ball in their planning, and it's because they're out there generating dollars, they're doing what they're doing, and so they called myself in along with some other guys to talk about products that we could be helping them out with, and so on and so forth. It's just so it doesn't, you know, it's not just not the small mom and pops. It's, you know, everybody. Some corporations don't even have these plans, and you know, what's funny is some of the OEM protocols for municipalities and small cities, you know, their cooling centers or their temporary housing, they have no backup generator. So it's even as simple as, you know, a generator. And by the way, if you're up here in the North Bergen County area, EPS is a electrical power system. That's Dan O'Brien. So give him a call if you were thinking about your home or your business. He's also a volunteer on the fire department. He's a lieutenant. So give him a ring. That is, he runs a commercial throughout the show. Again, Andy, thanks a lot. Then I'll see you next week at that Thursday meeting. That's with Harvey, right? We're out there with Harvey,
actually,
right?
Actually, it's this week.
No, it's this week? Oh, it's this Thursday. Oh, man.
Yes.
I'll be in the city. I will. Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday, and I am your host between 1 and 2. Sign off here is, you know, the same old thing. You know what? Let's just end the war. I got the pictures of all the guys here in the North Bergen, North Bergen County area that have been fallen heroes of our armed services. Good show, Andy. Thanks. Thanks to Brian Loberg. And next week we're gonna we got some good guests along with the contingency planning and preparedness and referring about disasters. And so have a safe week. And we'll talk to you soon.